This is an RNIB Connect radio podcast.
Time for another check-in with Glasgow-based pharmacist Elizabeth Roddick now here on RNIB Connect Radio. Hello, Elizabeth. How are you?
Very well, thanks, Toby.
Now with the clocks having gone back and winter just around the corner, Elizabeth, should we be thinking of taking supplements?
Well, Toby, apart from one vitamin that I'll talk about later, we should be getting, in theory, all our vitamins and minerals from our food. That is the most natural way for the body to assimilate nutrition. Now, there may be some of your listeners that actually grow their own vegetables and also eat everything in season. Then you're a way ahead of us. But if you're like me and you eat strawberries at Christmas time and runner beans from across the world from the supermarket, obviously you will be deficient probably. Now, a blood test would highlight any deficiency, but your GP, to be fair, would only test if there was a clinical symptom that he or she was following up.
I hear that there are some supplements that are fat-soluble and some that are water-soluble. Is there a difference in what we take then?
Yes, fat-soluble vitamins. Now, we're talking about A, D, E and K. Now, they're mainly found in animal fats, vegetable oils, dairy, liver, oily fish. Now, while your body needs these vitamins to work properly, you don't need to eat foods containing them every day because, in a sense, they are stored in the body. Water-soluble vitamins, now we're talking about vitamin C, the B vitamins, folic acid, they're mainly found in fruit and vegetables, grains, milk, dairy, foods. Now, these vitamins aren't stored in the body, so you need to have them more frequently. And if you have more than you need, then your body gets rid of the extra vitamins when you urinate. Then there's minerals. Examples are calcium and iron, amongst many others. They're found in meat, cereals, fish, milk, fruit and vegetables and nuts. Now, obviously, Toby, if you are vegan, you must supplement with vitamin B12. So to go back to your original question, you do need to be more careful with the fat-soluble vitamins when you supplement. Please ask for advice.
Elizabeth, you did mention one vitamin that you were going to come back to.
Yes, I was going to ask you, Toby, what do we not get very much of weather-wise during the winter?
Ah, could that be the sun, maybe?
Yes, Toby. Now, I know if you're living in a country, particularly in Scotland, and even compared with the south of England, we're devoid of the type of sun, the sun's rays that produce vitamin D on the skin. Now, that's for the months of October through to April. In countries that have less sunshine, there's an increase in the incidence of cancer. And I myself did a very small research project, and the women who had the lowest levels of vitamin D all had a history of cancer. All of the patients I come across in my pharmacy who have a cancer diagnosis, I always recommend taking vitamin D. It's also important to take for prevention. If you like, vitamin D is a secosteroid hormone and it's involved in so many processes in the body. Now, deficiency has been linked to bone disease, osteomalacia, osteoporosis, multiple sclerosis, some respiratory tract infections, and I could go on.
Elizabeth, how much should we take as a supplement then?
That's a very good question, Toby. In the UK, the government guideline is 400 international units. Now, I did a presentation to the Scottish government and I had a picture of the MSP and beside it a picture of a baby. And I asked him, is it logical that we would give the same dose to himself as we give to babies? Now, if you're not getting exposure to the sun, whether by virtue of where you live or maybe you're at risk of skin cancer or you cover up for cultural reasons, then I would suggest 2,000 international units. Obviously, your doctor may have prescribed a calcium and vitamin D supplement. Now, that's for bones such as osteoporosis disease. There are a couple of conditions, Toby, where vitamin D is not recommended. Sarcoidosis, hyperparathyroidism and kidney stones, probably your doctor will advise. Now, medication, you may be taking a drug called phenytoin. We don't use it very much just now. It's for epilepsy and that could interact with vitamin D. But for the vast majority, using vitamin D should not be a problem. And I would advise taking the supplement certainly through the winter months.
Finally, Elizabeth, what about vitamin C for a cold?
There have been some studies. Now, what they did was they looked at vitamin C for prevention treatment of pneumonia. Now, that is obviously a very serious respiratory disease. And it was found that there was some improvement in symptoms in particularly elderly people, but evidence for helping the common cold is lacking. I myself tend to take 1 gram of vitamin C if I've got a little viral infection in my throat. It may be placebo, I don't know, but I do feel better. We should be getting around 90 milligrams of vitamin C per day if you're a man, and 75 milligrams if you're a woman. So again, if you feel you're not getting enough, say through your food, then supplement, but please ask for advice.
Well, as always, some very useful information and advice there, Elizabeth. And if people would like to maybe contact you and ask for some advice, where can they go to find you?
All the W's, ElizabethRoddick.com.
Well, thank you, as always, Elizabeth, for chatting with me here on RNIB Connect Radio.
Always a pleasure, Toby.